Yo. Skippy. Skippy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay, you're live. I'm live. Look, dude, this is kind of new to me. So, like I tell the fans, this is an offshoot. This is a platform for us old specials, bullshit, do what we want to do. But we don't normally do this without a producer. So, it's gonna be me and you. We're gonna be rocking this, and for the next hour, getting a little intro about our guests. Why don't you give a little, talk. Fuck it. Let me fill
How
this
about
other
that
shit.
knockout at HK29 that just went down, bro? Let's talk about shit that's actually going on right now. That
Dude,
first
I was
fight.
just. Dude, okay. Look, I was arguing with some people about it. Some people felt it was a good stoppage. I felt it wasn't. I felt the kid got a flash knockout. I didn't see that by the time he got to the ground, he was already going for a defensive move and trying to get back up to his feet. I thought it was stopped early. What was your thoughts?
Well, dude, the fight went so quick, dude. When they were doing walkouts, I walked out to my garage to get a freaking rock star for the show, and I came back, and the fight was over. I don't know. I really don't know. I was like, this can't be happening.
Well, it happened. I feel like it was a flash knockout. I think you gotta look at this, as an amateur. I don't know if you caught fight number two, but they stopped it because of a belly to back suplex. And I understand there's rules, and they're trying to protect these kids. And then I don't have that much of a problem with it. Most of it's me as a fan saying let these kids go a little longer, but I understand that be safe with the kids before they get, to pro level, to where they're going to experience it at a higher impact.
Well, see, I was really confused by why that guy stopped that on that belly to back too, but apparently it had something to do with the fact that in the middle of the throw he repositioned his body to where he wanted. So you notice how he wound up in side control, right? And it had something to do with the way, like when he brought him up and then he rotated his body around. Like, I think if he'd have just stayed in the belly to back position, he might have been okay. But I'm not real clear on that ruling either because I was like sitting there trying to figure out what was going on. But, dude, how about our kick-ass guest we got tonight, man? Anthony Burchak, Bo the Show Hamilton.
I'm honestly, we'd scheduled this show on our normal platform, and it just some things came up, so we had to switch things around. So we decided to go ahead and let me and you run a little, sideshow project where we can have these specials, and if scheduling conflicts come up on the main platform we work on, on Madhouse Live, then we can still pull this off for the fans. And I gotta say, Lepaki, for our first show, dude, we booked two badass guests.
Oh no, I totally agree, man. I think it's great. I think we might be a little more colorful on Rogue MMA Radio.
Yes, I totally agree.
It won't be a broken nose radio, quite as rugged and raw as broken
Holy
nose. It'll
cow!
be.
Holy
Wow,
cow!
dude, was that a knee bar? You getting with that knee bar?
Dude,
Hey,
I
I do
think
want to
that.
give another quick shout out though, while I'm thinking about fights going down in Canada. How about our boy Daniel Swain getting the big win up there at Maximum Fighting Championships tonight?
Oh, dude, big shout out to the Swain, everybody, at 145 Swain on Twitter. Dude, he's somebody we love. He's somebody who's got some deep roots up here in the Pac Northwest, and he's been making a name, and now he's on a big stage doing it.
Yeah, I think it's great, man. I'm waiting here. It kind of sucks that it doesn't suck that we're on the radio, folks, but it kind of sucks that I'm gonna miss this great Team Quest fighter Cody Isaacson and do some work here in a few minutes. And I think I'm gonna miss the Schmialino fight too, and maybe Graham Spencer and maybe Savage fight. I don't know. We'll see how the MFC card plays out, but. There was a lot of fights tonight up in Canada that I was really, really curious about. And I'm hoping that I picked them right. I think it's going to be a big night for Graham Spencer. I think he's going to dispense Splenda Shane Nelson, also known as Sugar Shane Nelson. I expect Schmielino to just do what Schmielino does and probably turn the lights out on that poor guy pretty quick. The guy does have some good wins. He did beat Severn last year, but I mean, you know, I think there's a little bit of a difference in beating Dan Severn in 2011 and beating Dan Severn in 1998. I mean, I don't know if you agree or not.
No, I can agree with that. You know, that's fair.
I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from Dan Severn, but, you know, when you're pushing 50 years old or 51 years old, I think is what he was last year. People tell me, well, he beat Dan Severn. Well, okay, he's 28, 29, and Dan Severn is 51.
Let's be honest. You know, that's like saying, you know, hey, I beat, you know, no disrespect to this fighter, but, you know, if you go in right now and beat Jeremy Horn today, the guy's had, what, 140 fights? Man, he's been in the game 17, 18, 19 years. You know, I mean, he does still take fights every now and again. But, I mean, you're not beating Jeremy Horn in 1997. You know, you're beating Jeremy Horn past his prime. You know, it looks good on fucking paper maybe, but let's be honest. I mean, he didn't fight Dan Severn in the heyday of Pride.
No. Or in the early years of UFC. Or he didn't do Pancration.
He did Pancrase, the same as Barnett.
Yeah.
Which I talked about last night.
Yeah, I know. Then I got a bunch of messages because you were talking about Super Fight League going on this morning. I got people messaging me. I thought the Super Fight League was at 11:30. I'm like, yeah, 11:30 Eastern, bro.
Well, I know a bunch of people sent that to me, and you know what I said? Every single fight came right up as soon as it ended within 2 minutes on their channel.
Yeah.
So, hey, do you want me to call on Anthony? You ready for that?
Yeah, dude. Bring him on, bro. He's got some stuff he wants to talk about.
Whoa, what the fuck was that?
That's called when a phone rings, you get that sound with it.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
Yo, what's up?
What's going on, bro? How's it going today?
Good, how are you?
Doing really good, man, really good. You finished training for the day?
Yeah, I just got done, just walking out of Apex Mixed Martial Arts right now. Got some good mitts working, worked with Mercedes on her mitts. Everything's coming together, man. I'm really feeling good about, you know, everything. The whole gym's got a good synergy going right now. Everybody's got fights coming up, so everything's really coming together.
Hey, before we get too far into your interview, man, can you let us know how Freddie's doing? I know he had that pretty bad knockout, and he was kind of on the shelf there for a couple weeks after that, but is everything okay with him now?
He's back to pissing me off and annoying me as usual, so he's fine. No, but really, I mean, after the fight, you know, we went to the hospital, you know, within, you know, 10 minutes of being at the hospital, you know, they let me back there, and, you know, he was asking me about what happened in the fight. Like, he goes, I remember everything up until I got hit. He goes, so what happened then? And I was like, dude, literally, he threw an overhand right, you slipped right into the left hook. And he goes, okay. But, you know, that fight, it could have gone, you know, it should have gone the opposite way. You know, Freddie had a pretty bad cut. We talked about it before. You know, but his health is back up, and, you know, he's anxious already. You know, he's still got a medical suspension, but, you know, he's back in the gym. He's moving around, and he's ready to rock again, so.
That's great, man. We're glad everything's all right with him, man. That's one of the things, you know, we hate to see with any fighters if something severe injury happened to him and not let them do what they love to do. So, man, that's great news, and thanks for sharing that with the listeners, bro.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, you know, it was a real eye-opener for me to see that. You know, a lot of the times as an athlete, you don't look and or even think about that kind of stuff. You know, you can't really. You can't. But, you know, seeing my brother like that, you know, laying on the canvas, that was rough on me. And, you know, I can only take, you know, what I learned from that and just prepare properly to give myself the best chance in the fight.
Let me ask you a question about that, you know, because I know that you and Freddie are real close, man, and I've never really asked this question to a fighter, but when you see your brother go down like that, how hard is it not to want to, like, jump in there and like, maybe stalk the dude one time for yourself?
You know what, it wasn't even like that, because that dude hit Freddie, and as soon as he dropped him, he hit him one more time and started rubbing his chest like, oh, shit, like, and then he looks at me and Ed West, and he goes, hey, bro, like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have hit him that last time, I shouldn't have hit him, I'm sorry, I apologize, stand up dude, Anthony Figueroa, you know, my hat's off to him, he came to bang, but not only that is he realized the situation. The ref took so long to get over that Figueroa was trying to, you know, wake Fred up, you know, so I wasn't mad, I was just, it was just surreal to me to see, you know, that happen to me, to Fred, you know, that was, it was something that I've never seen before, and, but, you know, the way that Figueroa composed himself and, you know, it was truly top-notch on his end.
That's great. Well,
you know, I told him, I said, Dad, don't apologize. We'd have done the same to you. You know what I mean? We knew what we were signing up for.
Most definitely. Well, hey, let's talk about some positive news, man. You've got a big main event fight here December 1st at Jackson's against Matt Leyva. How are you feeling about that, and how did that come about?
You know, I've watched Leyva several times. We were actually out there for another one of Freddie Lux's fights, and I saw Matt Leyva versus Federico Lopez. You know, that was a barn burger. Those dudes just stood in the pocket and slugged it out. I saw Leyva getting caught in a couple of chokes. I think he got caught in like three. You know, but by the time Federico had it on, he was just gassed out. You know, and he couldn't finish it. So, you know, the two losses that Leyva has are by submission to the same guy. He's got one triangle choke and then one armbar. You know, the way it came about was another one of the management here in Arizona contacted Mercedes, you know, asking if I had anything lined up for the rest of the year. And as we've talked before, it's been, you know, hell trying to find me a fight. But, you know, Matt, you know, nut it up, and come December 1st, this is going to be the fight that, you know, one of us is moving on to the next level.
Now, you're kind of main event in his home turf. He's got a history there with Jackson. He's fought on that promotion several times. You haven't fought on that. How do you feel about kind of wading into his neck of the woods?
You know, I got nothing to lose, man. I'm walking in there. I got, you know, I'm going to bring my, you know, 5-10, you know, family members that want to jump up, but he's got the pressure on him, you know what I mean? He knows that I can come with some slick submissions. You know, I'm sure that's in the back of his head. He's got all his family there. He's got his whole team, you know, right there. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, it's everyone thinks it's a positive thing having the home, you know, home field advantage, but in a fight, you know, you don't got a team to rely on. It's you, and the pressure's on you. I'm going to go in there, clear conscience, a clear game plan, and know exactly what I want to do and execute it.
And you know what he doesn't have that you have going into there? You should have a Team Madhouse member who will be reporting live for all your fans so they can tell how quick you win that thing.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
We are working on getting a guy to that event. It looks pretty much 99% done. We've covered events there before. They love us. So it looks like we're going to have some Madhouse members down there to cover your event.
Man, that's going to be awesome, dude. Thank you guys so much. You guys have always, you know, shown mad love and support. And, you know, that's going to be, like I said, I'm going to go in with a clear game plan and know how to execute it. And I'm going to put on a big show for everybody there. You know, this is Tingley Coliseum. It's, you know, 6,000-seat venue. It's a 30-foot cage. This is like, this is the real deal before the real deal. You know what I mean? And I'm super amped up about this. I'm about to turn my camp training up another notch here. And I really want, you know, all the Madhouse fans to hear some good news at the end of the night.
Now, let me ask you, you know, knowing that obviously Jackson's is highly covered, do you think if you can make a statement win, that will secure your next step for sure?
You know, nothing's guaranteed, and we know that. You know, we've seen, you know, guys that have should have moved on and graduated already, you know, not get a call for whatever reason. You know, God willing, that is the case on this hand. You know, you got a 9-2 dude, Matt Leyva, versus, you know, me, 8-1. You know, this should be the fight that, you know, propels either one of us onto the next level. I see. It, you know, let's say, you know, I come out, you know, submit the dude in the first round. If I do it in stunning fashion, execute everything to perfection, yes, I hope I get a call. You know, if he comes out and knocks my block off, then, you know, I see it going that way too. It's just really who's gonna bring the heat December 1st.
Like it.
I'm expecting you to bring some heat.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely agree with Lopaki on that statement. I feel this is a fight that not only you deserve, but a fight that, from all intel, that you're mentally more prepared, it seems, for this fight than you've ever been. Just by, you know, seeing you and talking to you over the months and seeing posts and seeing, you know, things that, you know, you say, do you feel mentally you're more prepared for this fight than you have been in your past?
You know, like I said, we've talked, you know, it's been ups and downs. I got a fight. I don't got a fight. I got a fight. I don't got a fight. You know, I know the Jackson's dudes, they bring it. And I know, you know, unless there's extenuating circumstances where this dude gets hurt or I get hurt, you know, I don't see this fight not going through. In that aspect, I am mentally prepared because I know that this is more than 99% sure going to happen, you know, all the way through. And with that being said, you know, my mental state has to be ready, has to be, you know, business ready for business. And Joey Rivera, he's always on, you know, improving my mental game, improving my mental focus. And right now, like, I'm trying not to, you know, feed into the hype by any means, but, you know, if you're not your biggest supporter, who's gonna, you know what I mean? So right now I'm riding, you know, the Anthony Burchak train, and I truly see good things happening, you know, when this fight is said and done. So the only thing I can do is go in and you know, give it 150%. And hope I can get this job done.
Yeah, I think, Anthony, there's a fine line between cockiness and confidence, and you maintain that confidence line very, very well. And I totally agree with you. If you don't believe in yourself, man, why should anybody else? And I think that's a great mind frame to have moving forward. I also think it helps that, you know, your camp has a few fights lined up. From your manager has a fight lined up at Tough Enough next month. I think George has a fight on the books now. I just read the other day. Is that right?
I can neither confirm nor deny. I'm not sure. as soon as I heard he was dropping to 135, I was like, son of a bitch, I need to start looking at 125s. That dude's a monster, man. He's 6'1", and I'm like, Jesus, what am I to do, little old Anthony?
You're like, go up to 155, fool, man. Go the other way.
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing, man, is look at all these dudes. They're making, you know, there's there's bigger prizes, you know, and people are making bigger cuts. And, you know, these monsters are coming down from the hills, man. Frankie Edgar at 145s, you know, there's a bunch of dudes dropping to 55s. And, you know, there's dudes coming down to 35s. It's, you know, people want to give themselves the best chance to succeed.
Do you think that's kind of maybe a double-edged sword, though, at the same time, Anthony, where maybe dropping too many weight classes could possibly be detrimental?
Oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, you know, that's going to happen, and I see maybe not in the near future, but soon where they're going to put weight-cutting limitations in MMA. I think it's just inevitable. College wrestling does it. High school wrestling does it. You know, why wouldn't a pro sport do it?
Hey, look, what? You're damaging at a point. Some of these fighters are actually damaging their own body, and if not worse than actually being in a fight by some of these weight cuts and some of the fluids being so drained in their, not only their body, but around their brains. You know, I agree. Me and Lepofsky have talked about this. You know, who is it? Richard Hale? He walks the streets, he said, at 260 and cuts down to 205.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you look at Rumble Johnson, dude. Rumble Johnson's probably the best example for this. You know, when he was 170, really? Like, the dude's 230-something.
Yeah.
You know, the dude's a monster.
He's going to get whooped in 2 weeks. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Protege Linderman is going to smash that dude. Crumble.
When's this happening? When's this going down?
World Series of Fighting, November 3rd.
November 3rd. Got you. Got you.
Dude, on NBC.
Yeah, it's on NBC Sports.
I'm going to have to check that out for sure. I think, that's going to be an interesting fight for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I know that, you know, obviously with you being finally able to prepare the way you want to prepare for a fight, knowing that everything's set, you probably haven't had much time to pay attention, but yeah, brand new startup league that's got a badass card. I mean, badass card stacked from top to bottom, and he's going to get a shot at 205 against Rumble the Crumble Thompson. And
Rumble the Crumble. I like that. The Crumble.
You just see DJ's mouth guard is a cookie monster eating cookies, and his other mouth guard says Crumble.
That's awesome. That is awesome. We actually saw signs for the World Series of Fighting. Me and Mercedes were, she was just supposed to fight for the Cancer Smash event or the Smash Cancer event for the Candlelighters Kids October 11th. And you know, we show up to weigh-ins and our opponent's not there. But we saw these World Series of Fighting, you know, posters all in the Planet Hollywood Mall. They were everywhere. So, that's Ray Sefo's card, right? That's
his. Yep. That's the one that Tyrone Spong is going to be making his.
Right, Miguel Torres is on it, right? Miguel Torres?
Hey, yeah. Breaking news.
Okay, right on.
Sabah just won, tap out over Koran. Maximum.
No way.
Hell yeah, Bubba.
Dang, I got to get home. I got all these fights recorded right now. I got to start counting what's going on.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Nah, it's all good, dude. It's all good. I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and I have to put my phone in my bag and leave it in the bed of my truck so I can drive from practice to home and not be on social media looking at who's winning what.
Anthony, look, so, you mentioned Mercedes had that fight at the Smash Cancer event. How did she handle it when the opponent no-showed there? I mean, I know that could be frustrating. I know she went through a lot. She put a lot of hard work in. She took that event very seriously. I mean, it had to be really frustrating for her. Did you have to maybe, like, talk her down a little bit or anything like that?
You know, I told her she got every experience that a fighter goes through in 2 weeks. She had to cut the weight. She had to, you know, go through the bumps and the bruises right away. She had to push through the soreness. Then she had to deal with the opponent pulling out. And it was just like, you got everything all in one little life. You know what I mean? And the only reason that she was really going to fight is because of the kids. You know what I mean? That she was supporting the event and the cancer cause. And I was kind of reluctant when she decided to take this November 21st fight, because I was like, babe, you know, how is the Anthony Burchak show going to go on if you're fighting and I got to help you? And my buddy, it's been good training her. She's back on the grind, and it actually is the same opponent. So, I mean, she's mentally ready. She's been, you know, working on her striking, and she's looking clean. She rocked me a couple times the other day, so.
That's good, man.
Yeah, but I had to really let her know, like, look, you know, you got to check up these bumps and bruises. It was like, you know, oh, my thumb hurts. Oh, my shins hurt. It's like, dude, okay, you're going to have to, you know, draw the line, push through it. And once she got through it, you know, it was fine. And I was like, okay, in my head, I'm thinking, this is good. Nothing else is going to happen. Opponent pulls out. And it's like, dude, Jesus, what next?
So now, having the same opponent, are you concerned for that same thing to repeat itself?
No, I think what happened was, I think the girl kind of was worried about Mercedes' weight. You know, they were talking anywhere from 145 to 160, and Mercedes is like, well, you know, I'm going to be, you know, professional about it. I want to at least get as close as I can to her. So we said, you know, let's meet at 150. Mercedes, I think, was at the time, was walking around like 55, 57, so it wasn't a big cut. You know, we cleaned up her diet a little bit. She got down, and I think that was the biggest thing, was the weight cut. You know, just letting her get a taste of it was a good experience for her. And this camp, this time around, her nutrition's cleaned up thanks to Dr. Rick Katuth at Five Round Fury. And, you know, he's writing the meal plan and nutrition plan for her. So she should be popping and locking here real soon.
That's great. Now, let's get back on to your fight, because I know that, you know, a lot of us that are really involved in the game, we're familiar with Apex, and we know the kind of warriors that you guys are producing down there. Now, the fact that your fight is with a guy at Jackson, do you think that your fight could be maybe more putting your gym on the map with the more casual fans that are out there and the people that aren't quite aware of what you guys are doing there with you and Joey and George? And
you know, yes, exactly. I think this is, you know, has a Southwest region classic written all over it. You know what I mean? These are, you know, two top gyms in the Southwest. And, you know, obviously, you know, Jackson's is world-renowned. People come from everywhere to come train there. And for, you know, somebody like, you know, an Apex mixed martial artist to take out a Jackson's guy, I think it says huge things. You know, like I said, you know, you see me tweet, big things are happening for Apex. We're going to end this year with the biggest, you know, bang possible. All of us have, you know, really meaningful fights. They may not be big fights, but they're big fights to us. You know what I mean? And, you know, I truly, truly am going into this fight representing my area, my gym, my team. This is something that, yes, it is going to put Apex on the map. And, you know, just kind of remind everybody, hey, you're not the only gym in the Southwest. Tucson's got some studs, too.
Now, can we talk about your other story with our buddy from the Great North?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Pavlich.
Yeah.
That guy's I'm sorry, go ahead and ask away.
Well, I saw him with an interesting tweet last week that I thought maybe he was going to let us drop tonight, but apparently he jumped the gun, and it sounds like he might be heading to the North.
So this is, and obviously let me express my fear. I'm a realist. It's possible. You know, God forbid I lose this fight. You know, I don't, you know, I'm kind of hesitant about Pavlik signing me at the year's beginning of 2013, because who wants a guy coming in on a losing, you know, on a loss? You know, that's just business sense, and I've prepared myself for that mentally. But on the other, like I said, the other side of that mental coin, I'm very confident that I will be victorious. And, you know, with everything falling in line, it looks like I'll be fighting in Edmonton, Canada for, you know, the unveiling of the 135 pound. Everything that he's been tweeting and, you know, emailing to Mercedes seems like he's on board with the idea of having me up there. And, you know, I support, you know, tonight. I can't wait to watch, you know, Elvis and Leonidas go at it, man. That's gonna be an epic fight. And that, just that in itself, I want to fight for an organization that puts matchups together like that. You know, that's gonna be a good home for me for, you know, a couple of fights. And I'm not in any rush to get anywhere else. You know, I'm just taking opportunities as they come.
Yeah, I think that fight that you're talking about and with Leonidas and Mutapsic, that has nothing but fireworks, dynamite, C4, whatever you want to call it. That fight has it, I think. I mean, those are maybe two of the hardest hitting dudes in their division.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, and it's I mean I always like to pick a guy, but I literally cannot pick a guy here. This is either gonna, it could end really fast, or it could just be one of the biggest, longest, you know, slugfests ever.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I mean, that fight, I mean, if that goes the distance, that could be, they might be having to pause the fight to clean blood off the floor.
Dude, this is gonna be an awesome fight. And you know, more on the MSC, I like I said, I think, you know, when you're able to put matchups like that together, you know, that's a league, you know, and who knows who's gonna be in at the 135 thing. You know, I imagine, like I said, Josh Hill, John Frazier, you know, the tough dudes at the 135, 145 division. I'm sure some 145 pounders are probably gonna drop down. I see dudes like that being in that division. And again, I just saw John Frazier fight not too long ago on the Score Fighting series. You know, and I would love to pit myself against somebody of that caliber.
Yeah, I think that'd be great, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you perform on the 1st of December and then as well as up there at Maximum Fighting Championships. Now, Mercedes has been busy getting ready for her own fights, but she's also been landing you guys some pretty good sponsorships. You guys just brought on training masks, like, what, 2, maybe 3 weeks ago?
She was talking to them 2 or 3 weeks ago. We just got our training masks. So I don't consider a sponsorship official until I'm cutting through the masking tape on the box and I get to open up my presents like a little kid on Christmas. That's when I'm like, yay, I'm sponsored by training masks. So we just got them. The 2.0 mask is awesome, man. I mean, all last camp for the Roman Salazar camp, I was using the 1.0, and I was on Red Cap, you know, and I was really pushing myself, you know, conditioning my diaphragm and my breathing timing. And for the beginning of this camp, I was kind of worried because I was blowing through these cardio sessions, and I'm like, you know, I'm not challenging myself enough. I'm not, you know, having to stop and like rip the mask off and, you know, gasp. You know, but now that I got the 2.0, we're actually going to be going a little later tonight, probably around 10:30, and when the kids are asleep and hit the gym for another cardio session.
So do you have a feeling that it'll really help with you? I've heard kind of mixed results about it. I've heard some people say, oh, this is great, and then I've heard some people say, you know, it doesn't really do quite what you think it does. It just really inhibits your breathing, which makes your training harder. But then when I think about it, and I'm like, dude, if it inhibits your training or your breathing and makes your training harder, then it sounds like
that's,
it's working.
It's doing something, okay? Let's just say, you know, for all intents and purposes, that the science is not perfect, okay? Let's just say the science is not perfect. What I've learned and I've experienced in my using it is mentally, when you're about to hit a breaking point and you want to, fucking, I'm sorry, if you want to cry,
no, no,
you were on the internet, right? I can say, all right, so if you want to fucking, if you're about to fucking cry and you push through that, you've succeeded. If you're struggling breathing and you get in a choke in a match and you start, you know, breathing heavily, this teaches you to control your breathing, deep breaths through the nose, out through your mouth, condition your diaphragm not to panic, then it's working in some aspect. You know, whether it raises my red blood cell count or not, it's teaching me certain things that I don't get without wearing a mask.
Most definitely, most definitely. I can totally understand what you're saying there because it's just, like, it might be, like you're saying, the mental and just the body training rather than the improved cardio.
You know, but I felt good. Like, that Roman Salazar fight, rounds 2 and 3, you know, I jumped on my bike and I was moving, you know what I mean? I was moving around. I've never I've never moved like that in, you know, in the second and third rounds, and it showed. I got on top, and, you know, I beat the hell out of him. And for me to be able to dig deep like that, you know, I attribute a lot of that to, you know, wearing the mask and being able to control my breathing so I don't overexert myself. You know, everyone's going to have, air deprivation. It hurts the brain. Dude, you're getting fucking punched in the head. Like, you're worried about breathing? Like, you get struck in the brain, a couple times a fight. Like, your brain's going to shit either way. Either way.
Yeah.
So.
No, I definitely understand. That's like, I talk to some guys and they're like, we don't tap to blood chokes. If you tap to a blood choke in our gym, you're going to hate the next week. And I'm like, wow. They're like, you only tap to joint submissions. And I was like, holy shit, you guys are crazy.
Yeah, you know, and that's another thing. I mean, I kind of side with that. Not in practice. If you're in practice, you know, but I mean, if it's in a fight, go out, go to sleep. You know what I mean? But with joint stuff and neck stuff in practice, you know, you're not winning anything. Who is your coach going to give you something that day for not tapping out? No, just, you know, you learn where not to put yourself. And you know, guys that are consistently getting choked out in practice, they're going to be, you know, real simple people soon after that.
Nice, nice. Well, hey, man, I bet you need to go eat. I mean, we've had you on here for about a half hour, and you're going to do another session later tonight. We don't want to keep you on too long, but I definitely want to let you run at your sponsors and give them all a shout-out and anybody else you want to, Anthony.
For sure, man. I want to thank Outlaw Fight Gear, Christian Hofling. He just put together, they just got finished production on the AZ MMA Volley Tudo shorts that I designed. You know, he went out of his way, and he didn't have to do it. He made 15 pairs, so it's a limited run of the AZ MMA shorts. I want to thank Outlaw Fight Gear. I got Gamma Labs, you know, Primate Fight Gear. You guys keep an eye out. Primate Media Co. just did the second promo video for me. So that'll be dropping here soon.
Make sure we get a copy of that. We'll put that up on the site for you.
Yeah, for sure. I'll make sure I get that to you guys. I also got Contract Killer, Five Round Fury, Mentum Eyewear. Mentum Eyewear just jumped on with Training Mask. You know, all these, everyone that supported us, you know, they're going to be pleasantly surprised. You know, Team Lutha Elite's got some studs here, and we're gonna be producing some wins real soon. Also, want to thank Mercedes, man. She, you know, even though she's grinding and training, she bends over backwards for me to make everything possible. You know, she's the mom to our three kids. She's, you know, my girlfriend. She's everything. She's my manager. You know, we have to divide everything up from family time to business time to training time. And she's been, you know, one of the greatest things that I could ever have in my life. If you guys, you know, are an aspiring fighter, if you need a fight, please go to www.lutheelitemma.com. Get a hold of Mercedes, and she will definitely give you all the attention that a professional or amateur athlete needs.
Hey, man, that's great. I think that Mercedes works her ass off, and I have the utmost respect for what she does for you guys. And I think that the way that you guys have that family atmosphere there at both Luda and at Apex is awesome. And I guarantee you, man, that there will be a fight of yours I will be at live, man. I give you my word on that.
That's awesome, man. As soon as I could do that. Hey, you guys are in Oregon or what? New York? You guys are all over the place, right?
Yeah, me and Skippy are up in Oregon. We got guys in Missouri, New Mexico, British Columbia, Edmonton. I mean, they're everywhere.
Okay, so you guys are all over the place.
Tunisia.
Yeah, dang. So you guys, well, anyways, listen up. The two of you that are in Oregon, my little brother, Cedric Gonzalez, plays for Eastern Washington University. He's the middle linebacker there right now. Keep an eye out for him. He's going to be making some noise in the Northwest here soon.
Oh,
well, we might have to book him on a show to talk to the brother of
Yeatman.
Yeah, dude.
They don't do that, dude. He's an asshole. He doesn't even he doesn't even consider me an athlete. That's what he said. He goes, I told him, yo, I said, when the hell are you gonna go like my fan page? And he just sat back and he goes, when I like your fan page, you'll know you made it. So this is the kind of shit that I deal with on the regular from that kid.
Hey, just tell him that he's not a football player until he plays on green grass and not red pasture.
Good point. I'm going to have to tell him that later tonight.
No, man, that's I've actually been up on that campus, man, and if they come down here, man, and I think that Eastern Washington might play a couple schools here in Oregon, and if they swing through this way, man, I'll try and make it up and check him out for you and let you know how he does.
Right on, man. Once again, his name's Cedric. He's a big, goofy-looking kid. He looks like Shrek.
Oh, so you got the looks in the family, and he got
the
football.
Oh, I did. Oh, I did. I did. He got the size, though. That dude's like 6'3", 250.
Man, that's great, man. Anthony, man, we appreciate you guys taking the time out. And you know that anytime any of the Luda Elite fighters, management, anybody wants to come on, man, we got an open-door policy to you guys there at Apex and Luda. No matter what, man, we'll find a way to get you guys in.
Dude, I want to pressure Mercedes to get on with you guys, man. You guys gotta help me pressure into it.
Oh, wait. Hold on, bro. You didn't know?
No.
Wait, man. Check this shit. Let me give you the date. I've already got her on the whiteboard. I just got to look
at it. Oh, so she didn't tell me this. She didn't tell me this.
Oh, man, she's got secrets.
November
14th, 8 p.m., Mercedes White. She's on
nice. Good job.
Yeah.
Well, again, dude, you guys are awesome, man. Thank you so much for supporting our team and what we're trying to do out here. You know, I'm going to hopefully bring a win home for you guys December 1st.
Hey, thanks, man. Good luck, Anthony. Train hard, brother. Kill yourself now and live the life of a warrior that night on December 1st in Jackson.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, brother.
Later.
Bucky, man, I'm super excited to know we'll have somebody down there. Hey, let's kick it and get right to the next guest. We don't play around. We're going to call these guys live on air on this show. Hey, by the way, Cody Isenson's in control in the – oh, the round just ended. I think it's a close round. It's going to be hard to say who took it, but I'd give it to Cody personally.
I got Cody picked, man. I'm one of the few people that took the home state team quest guy. I guess it's not home state for a lot of people, but, you know, sometimes I let my local affiliations rain on my picking, and it does pretty good.
Okay, dude, we're live. So, you take it.
Is this going to be the show? He might still be at the weigh-ins. We might have to chat for a minute. Because I think they were doing weigh-ins at 7, but he could still be tied
okay.
up.
Okay. Well, if we got to chat for a minute.
So,
okay,
hey,
yeah.
He touched the ball one, you said. I heard that.
Yeah.
He tapped the guy out. I'm going to have a talk with Sabah, dude, because I totally picked Sabah to do a TKO, vicious Muay Thai finish, and I bragged about it everywhere, and then he subs the guy. What is he doing here?
It's funny, yeah. And I think it was about a minute and 48 in round one.
Oh, man, that's great. It's just so awesome, man, you know, watching some of these guys fight. You know, like Sabah, he's such an exciting fighter. And not a lot of people get to enjoy his style.
That's true.
Because he fights in the Great North, or Canada, as some of you like to refer to it as. Man, how you know? I mean, I got to tell you, I think Anthony is one of the top guests that we get on the show. Man, he's got such a dynamic personality.
Oh yeah, dude. I tell you right now. I'm sorry, dude. This Cody Isenson fight's really good. He's well matched. You know, I got to tell you what though. I'm super excited to see Anthony go down there to. Jackson's, it's a tough place to test yourself. Definitely think it's a great place to make his name on his way to the MFC just to prove that Mark made a smart choice. I got to talk to you guys real quick about this, man. This Cody Isenson fight, you know.
Is he in the black or the red and white? Hold on, is he in the black or the red and white?
He's in the black.
Okay. He just got
okay.
now.
Dude, this kid took this fight off of Facebook, people. That's why you guys got to pay attention, man. Some of these organizations are looking for last-minute fights, and you gotta understand that you want to be, even as an amateur, you want to be a good fighter. You got to be willing to go and take those fights when they're offered. And this kid, he went up into Canada, into somebody else's home turf in another country. Oh, no, 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 no. Everybody. Oh, he's out. There he goes. This kid took this fight. He's a Team Quest fighter out of Gresham, Oregon.
He's also the kid's MMA coach. He's also the kid's MMA coach in Gresham.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And, you know, he has an international background in Taekwondo from a young, young age. And he's kind of made the transition to MMA maybe a little later in life because I believe he's 26. But obviously training there with ground game, get out of that position, son.
I froze up. Go.
There's 54 seconds left in the round. He's lost in a triangle, folks. Cody Isaacson's trapped.
I like how he's not really too concerned about it because he just seems to be still trying to ground and pound the guy.
Yeah, he's definitely, once again, this is that great ground game they teach you over there with Matt Lindland and, you know Chael Sonnen and them boys and, you know, Yushin and all those guys that come over there. I mean, he gets to train with some great athletes.
Well, and I think he's up there. He's probably spent some time rolling with Vinny, maybe if he's headed over to Tualatin at all.
Yeah.
And he got out of that, so that's good. You know, the Team Quest up there, and I get so frustrated because I get the – with them having two locations in the Portland district, I get
three.
So frustrated with, like – oh, yeah, three. See, that's even worse, man. What the fuck are they doing up there? Just have one.
They're going to have a total of seven or eight in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, because they just popped that one up in Olympia. He looks – you want to try Bo again?
Yeah, give me 2 seconds. I'm trying to dial his number up right
man,
now.
Man, Cord and them get some cute ring girls.
Yes, he does, man. They rock it up there.
I wonder if the Schmiedelino fight's gone down yet.
No, I haven't seen the name. I think it's going down right now. Hold on. Let's call him back. Okay, this is live, folks.
This is what you get on Rogue MMA Radio. This is what happens when the madman Carl isn't with us. Me and Skippy just run roughshod all over the place.
Yeah, dude, well, we're used to having a producer cut off and shit. You know, and that's just...
Normally,
you know.
We just get the BS.
Hello. Hey, bonus Joe Hamilton! What's up, buddy?
What's up?
Welcome to
Rogue. What are you guys doing?
Oh, man, we're just
out. You guys realize you...
dude.
Yeah?
We stole the show, man. And we're doing this with a producer free. So bear with us, man. It's a little crazy. We're a little bit over the top on this show. And so things are just wacky and stacky. And I understand that you just finished weigh-ins, huh?
You guys realize you called Burchak back, right?
Oh, shit. Okay, Burchak. What's the last 4-year number, Burchak?
4970.
Okay.
I was so excited to be back on.
Hold on, let's try this one. Hello? Who do we got?
Still Burchak, man.
Is this Bo?
Hey, Anthony, I'm going to fire it. No, that's Anthony, you goofball.
No, Bill, okay, Anthony. Sorry, buddy. Talk to you later.
Later.
Okay.
Carl, if you're listening, bail me out. Carl, if
okay,
you're listening,
hey,
hold on.
Hold on. I got this shit. Okay. Oh, I think Bo's been trying to call us. God damn. Oh, dude.
Man, you...
Every
other guest on the number list tonight thinking it was you, bro.
Dude, I was just called in. I was listening. Every call you guys kept calling, it was the wrong number. I'm like, hey, you guys hear me or what?
welcome to Rogue MMA, Bo, the show, man. How you doing tonight, brother?
I feel good. How you guys doing, man? I'm doing good.
Great.
We're doing great, man.
How are we?
They were good. I was 0.2 pounds under or something. My opponent was like, he was really having to sweat it out, so it was pretty fun to watch him sit there and be miserable for a while. So, but he made weight, so it's a fight.
Hey, now, what weight class are you taking this in, Bo? Last time I saw you, you were up at 170, beating up guys that were like 6'4".
Yep, I'm still back at 170. They called me with this one on a 2 weeks' notice in Stockton, California, and that's where I was born, and it's my hometown, so they said all they had was a 170 fight, and I was like, shit, I'll take a heavyweight fight if I can fight Stockton.
Well, hell yeah. Now, how are you feeling? How's camp been going, brother?
Good. I had a boxing match a while back, and that put me out for a little bit, but I was just in the gym training hard, getting ready, and my suspension finally came up, so as soon as it was up, I jumped right back on the horse and tried to find a fight right away, and I was able to, so I'm happy.
Now, you guys have had a lot of camps going on there. In your camp, you're fighting in Stockton, and what's the name of the event again?
Art of Submission, that's what it's called.
So are we going to see a submission specialist Bo the show, or are we going to see the hammer dropper Bo the show?
Whatever he gives me, man. If you just sit there and let me pound on his face for 15 minutes, I'll take that. But if he gives me a limb, you know, I got skills and I'll take one.
Yeah, no, I mean, you put on what I would call, when I watched you at Cage Sport, and I want everybody to listen to this, I mean, I thought you put on a wrestling clinic in that fight. You out-grappled that guy. It was amazing to watch, bro.
I appreciate it, man. It was a good night for us that night, yeah. I was real happy about that performance.
I guess you would have found out the night before about your coach and teammate and stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right, because you fought Saturday, he fought Friday down there.
Yeah, he fought, I can't remember that night where he fought.
Houston.
I think I was in Texas when he fought in Texas, yeah. And then I was fighting in Tacoma. My corner didn't get to make it. He didn't get to make it to it, but I had a couple extra guys. My pops was in my corner, and he'll be in my corner tonight too. He's a pretty smart guy in the game, so it's all good.
Yeah, I got to meet your dad that night. Man, that was a real honor. I mean, it was great to see you guys there as a family. And that's just kind of what DSC is—an extension of your blood family, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is, man. That's one of the cool things about our gym. It's like there's one thing for all these coaches to bring all these guys in from great other places and make a great team that are good fighters, but we all grew up together. Like we've seen each other from kids growing up, been through the roughest times with each other, and it's they're brothers to me in there. They're not just training partners or nothing. They're real brothers.
So how awesome is it, Bo, to get to fight in Stockton, man, where you were born at?
Oh, man, this is a dream come true for me, man. This is really like something. As soon as when I started fighting 7 years ago, man, this is the one thing I wanted to do. I wanted to fight here. My whole family lives here still, so they're all going to be there. All my friends I grew up with that never knew that this is what I was doing when I moved away, they'll get to come back and see me. It's just real exciting for me. Real good energy going to be there that tomorrow, and I'm excited to take it all in, man.
Man, that's great. We're super stoked that you got on another card so quickly. And you mentioned the boxing match. How did the boxing match go?
I got TKO'd in the second round. It didn't go too good for me. I fought a beast of a kid. His name is David Berrigan out of San Diego. He's a tough kid. He was supposed to be in the Olympics in Beijing, but he got in a car wreck and couldn't make it. And then he's made his comeback, made his first pro fight against a couple pro fights before he fought me, and then he was able to get me in the boxing.
But how awesome is that though, man? That you like that's just like the thing that like really impresses me about you guys there at Do Something is that, man, a lot of guys that you see, they're like, I'm an MMA fighter. I'm a boxer. I'm a this. You guys are like, we're fighters. How do you guys develop that attitude?
I don't know, man. You're born with it, I think. I mean, I don't know how I developed it. It's just something I was born with. I'm sure there's other guys out there like that. But, yeah, I don't know how all three of us are born with it, and then all three of us came together, me, Tommy, and DJ. But, I mean, it's weird, man. We're just fighters, dude. This is what we love to do. We'd be doing this for free if we couldn't get paid to do it. So, you know, this is what we're good at. This is what we were made to do.
Yeah, and we talked to DJ, I think last week we had DJ on, and he mentioned, and then I even saw in the, you guys had the news channel from Medford came down to Wairika, did that segment on you guys, and I've heard where DJ's mentioned that fighting kind of saved his life, and I'm curious to know, is fighting maybe one of those things that kept you out of trouble too, or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, if you've ever been to Stockton or grew up in Stockton, you'll see it's a very, very rough town, a very, very tough town. And me and my brother were both heading down the path of, gang banging and stuff like that. And my dad seen that, got us out of there, luckily, and I thank him for that. And we moved up to Wairika about when I was 15. I met Tommy, and I was about 230 pounds, just a big, out-of-shape, fat kid. And he's like, come down and train. I went down to the gym, got knocked out my first day, and just been going back ever since.
Now, you know, that's something that you mentioned right there. Most people go to the gym their first day, they get their lights turned out, you never see them again. Did you want to go back and prove to those guys? Did you want to go back and prove to those guys, hey, look, man, that was a fluke, sucker. I'm going to get you next time.
Well, it wasn't a fluke. I mean, the next 2 months of training and sparring consisted of me just walking backwards with my hands up, but, you know, it was cool to, I got knocked, that was the first time I've ever been knocked out of, in anything, so it was a weird experience, but, you know, I knew if I stuck with it that it was going to, I'll be something with it, and I'm glad I did.
Hey, Bo, this is Skippy.
What's up, man?
I don't want to get too far off the subject with that, with where the Lepaki's going, but I got to ask you, do you ever go to the gym, man, and you look at, you know, Linderman, and you're like, I can be better than that. I can beat him one day. I can have more titles than him one day. Do you ever have that mentality inside of yourself? Not that you would ever be egotistical like that, but you know what I mean? Like, You know he's on a great path. He's winning world titles everywhere on his way to get the most elite title. And do you look and say that, I think I can get better than him. I think I can do it quicker than him and win titles faster than him. Do you ever feel like that?
No, honestly, not really, because he's been in there a shorter time than me, and he's already done all this. So he's kind of done it quicker than me. So, but I really just look at that as what he's doing is just like a real inspiration and a real, like, you know, if he can do it, you know, I definitely know I can do it, you know, and that's really the big part in it, and like, because DJ, me and DJ, we're close friends, we hang out every day. I mean, just to see him get all these titles and get this recognition, it's just, I'm just like a proud brother, honestly. I'd love to be in his position, I'd love to get there really quick, but, you know, I know my path can be coming, and I just got to stay on it, and whatever it is, if it's long or short, it's going to work out no matter what, you know?
Now, with him coming back and winning, you know, like when he came back after winning the Cage Warrior Championship and you saw that belt, what went through your head?
Just a proud moment. You almost, like, you really just feel like a proud brother. Like, whoa, you feel like you won that belt yourself, you know? You just, like... I knew he was going to get it. I mean, that Mike Hayes guy, he's trash. But fucking, I'm proud of DJ, man. I'm so proud of him. And I'm even more proud that I'm going to go get this win this Saturday, tomorrow, and then he's going to go and finish up the second half and get the win over Rumble, or Crumble, as we call him at the gym.
Dude, hey, speaking of that, let me tell you, I won't get into details with who, but I have a major bet on the line, and if you guys know anything about me, I lost the previous bet and had to get a 16-inch by 10-inch long tattoo of the company's logo that I lost to. So when we do bets, we go big, man, here. And, you know, I tell you what, I got my money all day on the Protégé, okay? So we just did a rant and rave the other night on another show, and I tore Crumble up, man. I'm all about DJ, man. I tell you right now, if the World Series of Fighting didn't come up, he'd be the legacy champion next month. I tell you that right now. Tell you that right now. Anybody who disagrees with me, kiss my ass.
Hell yeah, bud. Me too. Kiss my ass too.
Yeah,
Are DJ and Tommy gonna make it down to corner you, or is DJ too deep in camp right now to go, and just Tommy and your dad?
No, Tommy's actually not gonna make it down, and he's got some work up there he's gotta do. And DJ, he did come down. He's down here with me. He's not here, but he's over here, and he's gonna be cornering with me and my dad.
Oh, that's great, man. That's got to help you guys. I mean, not like, you know, it's got to be a good calming effect knowing that you got your family, literally, and your gym family. And, you know, it's going to be a big night for DSC, and it's going to be a big couple weeks for DSC, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, man, it feels good. It's really good. Like you said before, it was a family thing, you know. My brothers are going to be there. My sister's going to be there. My dad's going to be there in my corner. And we're just enjoying the moment and having fun right here.
Now, did you have any hiccups in camp, or were there any things that you might have focused on that you felt like you could improve upon from your last MMA match?
I got kind of called on short notice. I've just been in and out of the gym, and then they called me about like 3 weeks ago, letting me know this was a possibility. So I started just really hitting it hard on the cardio, you know, really working hard on the cardio, I don't know. I feel really good. You know, I feel like I'm sharpened up, and I really felt like I turned the corner this week while I was doing some moves on people, and I feel good. You know, there's not much you can sharpen up.
Yeah, but you guys keep all your tools pretty sharp, whether you have a fight on the books or not. I mean, that's just how you guys operate there in NorCal.
Yep, that's just how we do it, man.
Now,
you gotta know how to fight being in my gym.
Now, I know you took this fight a little bit on short notice. How was that for your weight?
Oh, this weight's not an issue at all. I walked around at 171 on a heavy day. So I walked, like, I woke up today, had some Subway for breakfast, had some water, went to the weigh-ins, and just sat around and watched my opponent suffer all day. It was pretty nice. I felt good, man.
it only could have been better, bro, if you could have been sitting there eating that Subway right in front of them going, hey, buddy.
Oh man, that would have been nice.
Hey, so me and Lepaki last week, we went to some weigh-ins, right? And this one guy used to fight at 205, making his first fight at 185, man, like, just dehydrated as a motherfucker. And his opponent was a last-minute change, and this guy walks in pants and shirt and weighs in on that, dude. I was like, that's got to suck.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, dude, this kid was, like, the only guy at our weigh-ins freaking having to run around with the sauna suit on, and everybody's just sitting around looking at him like, damn, sucks to you. And he's looking over at me like I'm just sitting there all smiles, you know. I didn't have to cut a pound today. I woke up relaxed all day, and he's just looking at me like, man, I hate you. But I told him, luckily, we get to fight about it tomorrow.
Now, Bo, what is a typical fight day like for you, brother? Like, what kind of things will you do tomorrow? Will you sleep a lot? Will you just get up and have a normal day, hang out with the family?
Just hang out. Usually probably go have a breakfast with the family somewhere at a restaurant, then we'll probably go catch a movie, me and my dad and my brother. That's usually like a little tradition we like to do, go catch a movie, you know, relax. So just try not – just do anything, not thinking about fighting. There's no reason to start thinking about fighting that early in the day, you know, when we got a fight later on in the day. So, I just try to go watch a movie and relax and wait for my showtime.
And what time does the show start tomorrow?
I think the event starts at 7, doors open at 6.
That's awesome, man. Hey, I think, hey, Skippy, I want to do something right now. I think the first fan that anybody listening in the Stockton area that makes it to Art of Submission, if you send in a picture with Bo the Show Hamilton, you're going to win a Madhouse shirt. What do you think about that, Skippy?
I love that, dude. Let's do it. Bo the Show, folks. Get out there tomorrow, man. You guys find him, whether it's before the fight or after the fight, the first fan to post on Madhouse.com, Lapaki's page, or STP's page, Skippy. First person to do that will get a free Madhouse t-shirt. Because you know what? We want to see that support for local MMA. We want to see that support for Bo the Show, man. This kid's legit. You guys got to get out there and support local MMA. Go out there and buy some gear from the sponsors at the event. Go out there and get your photos taken and post it with these cats, man. These guys out there are fighting for the fans, okay? So get out there and support them, man. First person with Bo the Show, slap the picture up, gets a free shirt.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Good stuff. You guys come out there and support us.
Yeah, you might have already gotten a t-shirt today. I don't know. I don't know if DJ shared those with you.
DJ's not here with me, no.
Well, he got a shipment of t-shirts from us. There might be one in there for you.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, I sent him, I believe, like a half a dozen shirts or something, so, I'm pretty sure he'll toss you one. If not, you let us know, we'll get you one.
All right, if not, I'm gonna take him out back and make him give me one.
Dad, go out back and tap him, be like, give it to me.
For sure.
Bo, I know that you've had a long day finishing up weigh-ins. You want to kick back with your family and enjoy your night before the fight. We've only got about 7 minutes left, so you take some time. Make sure you tell all the fans how they can find you on any social media like Facebook, Twitter, Tout, Google+, whatever. Give out shout-outs to any sponsors. Run at it. Say whatever you want, man. Take 3-4 minutes. Have at it, brother.
All right, thanks, man. I just want to say thank you to all the fans out in Stockton and come out here and support us in this local MMA scene. We're going to go out there and put it all on the line for you guys. We're going to put on a good show for you guys tomorrow. I just want to say thank you to all my friends and family up in Wairika that's been supporting us. You guys are awesome. There's no other little fight town like you guys. I just want to thank my training partners, DJ and Tommy. Those guys are the best. And my sponsors, Training Mask, No Pain, Just Glory Fight Gear, and Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. They got some sick mouth guards. Go check them out. And thank you guys for having me. This has been an honor. I don't really like to do interviews or much too much, so I appreciate you guys for having me on here. And I'll be on here again anytime you want me, guys.
Oh, yeah, dude. Hey, look, dude. This ain't no interview. This is some fans just kicking back with a buddy, dude. You know, straight out, dude. Look, we could mail you 20 questions and have you answer them, rewrite them for you, post them up, and play that bullshit game. But me and Lapaki are straight-up fans. Look, right now, we're sitting here watching probably multiple fights in the studio. I know Hard Knocks is on in the studio. You know, we're doing research on other fighters because, you know what, we love this shit, man. We love guys like you that go out on Saturday nights, man, and leave it all in the cage for the fans. Hey, dude, you know, it's all about you. Let's be honest, man. It ain't about us and our show. It's about you fighters.
We do it for you guys. You guys are the fans. That's what we do it for, man. I do it 100% for you guys and the support you guys have for us. That's awesome, bro.
Hey, what's on your mouth guard, bro? What's your design?
I got just some gold teeth.
Wow.
Yeah,
you got
I keep it
for your grill.
Yeah, I got a grill for the grill.
Man, well, Bo, we're going to wrap this up. Hey, look, you tell everybody down there that we appreciate the love that they show our bosses at Madhouse.com, and I appreciate you taking the time and your team taking the time to support us and rep us, and you taking the time right after weigh-ins when most fighters want to just go kick back and say, fuck everything. You know, come on the kick back for a half hour, man. That was really cool, you brother.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Like I said, thanks for having me, guys. And I'm awesome. And I'm honored to come on to the fan show and be on here, dude. This is a cool thing right here.
Well, dude,
we'll be sending you guys some positive energy tomorrow, man. And we'll be all focused on you getting your hand raised again and starting off a successful run for your gym.
Hell
That's right. That's what's going to happen. It's going to start off right tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's going to be a good weekend for us coming up here pretty soon.
Go ahead, Skippy.
Dude, well, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, you hit us up, let us know, have somebody in your camp shoot Madhouse a Facebook or text or whatever so we know as soon as your hand's raised, we can tell the world, man, you completed another one, man, dominated again.
For sure. I'll have Tommy definitely get a hold of you guys. And sure, I got maybe if you guys do something tomorrow, maybe I'll call him tomorrow too or something.
Maybe we'll have to do Broken Nose Radio tomorrow night, Lepaki, me and you.
All right.
Hey, I'm down
That's
for some broken nose.
Yeah.
To break someone's nose.
We might have to see what we can do about doing a late night show on another show this network owns. It's a video show, but we can get you to call in and put you patch you through. So, let us know how you do no matter what, and no matter what, we'll try to make a show tomorrow for you, period.
For sure. Hell yeah, I will.
You guys have a good night, man. Go spend some time with your family.
We'll definitely hit Tommy or
his wife or somebody up DJ and let them know what we're doing about the show tomorrow night so that you don't have to worry about it. And after your fight, you can worry about it.
For sure. Heck yeah. I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, we're going to go watch that movie, Here Comes the Boom. Hopefully it's a funny MMA movie.
Well, go have some fun.
All right, man. You guys have a good night.
Later, brother. Best of luck, brother.
All right.
Dude, Lepaki, I don't know, dude. Rogue MMA Hour, these fans might get to see this shit a little bit more, man. We have guests this fucking cool.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It's going to be really hard for us to keep that level of guests up, but I challenge the listeners to find guests on these two guys' level, man. Anthony and Bo, man, that really sets the bar fairly high for guests in the future, don't you think?
I do, and I think your call out to the fans and I want everyone to know, I like his idea. You guys can tweet this answer to this question at Lepaki, and that's LOPATI on Twitter, or at STP Tattoo. You guys shoot us some names of guests you think will be as good as them, man. We'd like to book our show when we do these specials off of fan picks, okay? I think that's a great idea, Lepaki. Fucking great idea.
Yeah, the show's about the fighters and the fans and bringing those people together so that, you know, when these guys are getting that call up to the top levels, man, they're known, they have that following, and they can get paid accordingly. Based off of that, since that apparently is what determines your paycheck, it's our job to make sure these fighters that are coming up have the proper following in order to catch the right amount of money when they're signing them contracts.
Yep. Well, you know.
Does anybody know what happened in the Cody Isaacson fight? Did he pull it out?
I was about to tell you because we only got a minute and 33 seconds left. I don't know what fight those judges were watching. He lost the decision, but it was a unanimous 30-27, and we got about 90 seconds left, brother. But, dude, he lost a unanimous decision. I definitely gave him round 1 and 3. I truthfully did. I did not give him round 2 at all. But I felt like he came back and was dominant, and he stayed on top the whole third round, probably 70% of it working. Kept punching, kept grappling, kept just moving. So I don't know.
To talk to Cordonari about that shit. Where's Sarah? Sarah?
60 seconds till we're off live air. That doesn't mean the show's over. So if we're still talking, people will be able to hear it on the replay. Straight up, it was a good fight, though. And right now we're into the next fight, and it's in its third round. Guy's going for a key lock. Never mind, he lost it. But, I want to thank MMAMadhouse.com for letting me and Lepaki steal the controls for a night. I promise, dude, I'll get better working them. We got about 20 seconds left. Lepaki, you got anything you want to say?
Hey, man, peace to everybody out there. Get out, support local MMA. Me and Skippy are savages about it. We don't expect you to be on our level, but just don't be a zombie. Where'd you go, fool?
Nothing.
What are you doing? Quit fucking around with shit. You're fucking shit up. Carl, he's messing up the controls.
I was trying to, like, play some walkout music. I don't know.
Walkout
yeah.
music? We're closing it down,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
play it from it. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Eagle!
Eagle!
Okay, man, we're wrapping up. We're done, boys and girls. I'll catch you guys next time. Eagle!